Welcome back. This is Mario the Artisan Rogue. Okay, so today I spent a better chunk of my time trying to figure out, man, let's look at it this way. Everybody has to have some kind of job, some sort of career, something you want to do in life, something you want to proceed with and hopefully grow into and do interesting and cool stuff with, or maybe just, you know, earn enough money to be able to do things like, you know, collect and buy stuff or go on vacation or whatever, you know, really drives you to do that. And it's wonderful. It's great when you have either the capacity to be able to work for yourself, or you have a job, or, you know, you work for a good company, or whatever the case might be. No job is ever going to be perfect. And this is something I've learned over the years. But one of the things that I wish could be perfected would be some of the ways that you go about getting these jobs. Now, I've heard all kinds of crazy stories. Like, one of the craziest stories was here in Kansas City. There's a guy, and I met him through a young entrepreneur's sort of like gathering thing. And what happened was he took a chance because of the fact that he really wanted to get out there. And he was right in between jobs. He was kind of at a dead end. And he got an opportunity to go to one of these meetings where there was like a lot of different business people and this sort of thing. And I forget a lot of the specifics now, partially because I was jealous as hell when I heard about it, and also because I just don't remember. It's been a while now. But at any rate, he ended up taking a chance, and there was a guy he overheard, some VP, I guess is what it was, who he overheard saying, you know, man, you know, I really want to spend more time with my family. I want to be able to do this and that and all these other sorts of things. And just how he's complaining about these business trips he had to take and all these other things he had to do. And I guess brilliance struck him at that moment, and he walked up, not really understanding. And this is how, this is third generation, the story anyway, that I'm telling you. And from what I gather, he walked up to the man and just kind of off the cuff said, well, you know, you're in luck. I couldn't help but overhear, you know, the dilemmas you're having. And I wanted to just tell you that I'm one of those guys that will go and take those trips for you. And one way or another, he managed to finagle himself into a position to where he was doing the travel for this guy. Like, this was clearly a guy that wanted to spend more time with his family, didn't want to really be overcome by his job, and didn't necessarily have the capacity to be able to hire a, you know, an assistant. Maybe he did, I don't know. But he wanted somebody that was going to be able to go and have a certain level of accountability. Anyway, I caught up with one of his friends later, and I ended up hearing that the guy, he's not, you know, making bang-o bucks or anything else like that, but he is making a living on something he took a chance on. And so he's got a few clients now that he goes and does business travel for. Not all of their trips, not everything, and it's not him just laying out on the beach and taking notes. He ends up going to places, but he's gotten a chance to go and see things and do things that he probably would never have been able to do had he stayed doing what he was doing prior, which was marketing and some graphic design. Instead, now he's doing a little bit of jet setting, a little bit of bus travel, and I'm sure some of it's a little, you know, got some doldrums to it and that sort of thing. But the point is that had he not taken that chance, he wouldn't have been able to grow from there. Now, I'm telling you that story because of the fact that one of the things that ends up happening, and I know that I was indoctrinated into this pretty early on, and I'm certain the vast majority of us have gone through this, whether it was from your parents or, you know, somebody significant in your life, whether that be a teacher, a mentor, or whatever, they tell you, you know, you want to follow your dreams, you want to try and do the things that are going to make you happy. And this is true. And very few of us will ever be given that chance unless you're a trust fund kid or unless you just happen to win the lottery or you're extremely lucky. You're not going to be able to do that sort of stuff off the bat. In fact, it may take the better part of your professional career jumping around from job to job or sticking with one, which is almost unheard of in these days, to find what you're really happy doing. And I know for myself, I mean, my first job was actually working at a car wash. I was cleaning out stalls and that sort of thing. I have literally worked at places like, oh man, I've worked at Little Caesars. I've worked at, which was actually not that bad. I just was a terrible employee, honestly. And I've worked there. I worked on a cattle ranch. I worked at a funeral home. Oh man, what were some of the other jobs? The car wash was my very first one. I've worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. That was actually a really cool place to work. I was just a fleet assistant cleaning the cars and doing some running around, stuff like that. They actually used to pay me, and I'm not even joking. Like, if somebody needed to pay a 15-passenger van, and it was, you know, maybe the Lee Summit branch that had one, you know, the office, they would pay me to drive it to St. Louis. So I'd take 3 hours, 3-4 hours to drive to St. Louis, have lunch over there, and then come back with a different vehicle because that branch couldn't find another 15-passenger van, and they had a client, somebody that had rented that, and there was just no other vans that were available that weekend for whatever reason in St. Louis, so they'd get one. And I used to do crazy things like that. And I've worked, you know, in small print shops, sign shops, graphic design studios. I worked for myself off and on doing freelance over the years. And the one thing I can say is that for all of those sort of trials and tribulations and insanity that'll happen during that time, the one thing I cannot really stand, although it has led to some great opportunities, is filling out a resume. Now, the reason is because I know that when you, and I'm not knocking the concept of trying to get a job. I understand why it's done. But I believe the vast majority of you out there would probably agree with me that when you fill out a resume, you probably have it in a Word document or as a PDF, or you've designed it in whatever format you can. I just refuse to believe that in today's world, where you can pay a lot of things online with a high level of encryption and all these other sort of, you know, situations that can be brought about. I mean, come on, Google can figure out that you looked at a hot tub or something like that 2 weeks ago and will completely wreck your Facebook account or your Google Mail or anything with images of this. And I mean, if it can do that sort of stuff, why in the world is it that whenever I upload a resume, one of two things will happen depending on the person that, you know, or the place I'm trying to apply for. And I'm not blaming them, I'm blaming the system that they're utilizing. Either A, it will automatically attempt to read either the PDF or the Word document that I've just uploaded, and because of some screwball formatting, it will have, you know, like former boss names as the position I was in, or just nothing matches up. My birth date will be wrong, or just, you know, I don't even remember really putting my birth date on anything like that, but my point is that information would just show up all jacked up, and I end up spending a good amount of time going back, and there's a higher chance of making an error because of user error, you know, user interface, user input, simply because a company just has this really awkward way of doing it. I've never understood that. If I'm taking the time to upload this, I would hope that somebody in HR would take the time to look at the resume. They probably do, but they want something that's facilitated and pushed into their own environment, their own whatever they have, whether it be some antiquated 1960s Fortran-driven sort of like interface, or whether it's something much newer that maybe my own document just isn't feasible enough to be accepted by. Either way, that is one of my biggest pet peeves that I have with those sort of things. Now, that's just from a technical standpoint, because believe me, there's a lot of things about that. I end up freaking out about, like, oh God, whenever I corrected this, did I get all of my spelling right? Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Did I include the right thing? Did I upload the right freaking resume? Did I upload the right portfolio? Whatever those sort of circumstances are, that's what I end up going through. Now, the worst part, the absolute worst part about all of that is the fact that not only does it eat up time, you start fatiguing, you start double checking. Sometimes you manage to catch things, which are good. But there's a lot of times whenever you'll be trying to fill this thing out. And I ran across this recently. I was trying to put one in and I realized that for certain areas, there was one particular area that was asking for, you know, how far I'd made it in high school. You know, had I graduated? Had I gotten a degree? Common sense would dictate that maybe you write in the blank line, degree. Or graduated, senior, something along that line. No less than 46 to 47 different words were what I tried in that variable input. I tried everything. They even had a little question mark off to the side. But having worked with programmers, it was programmer's logic that said they should automatically know what they're putting in here. And here's a little, it was this little stupid icon that had a question mark on it, and you clicked on it. And it gave you this weird cryptic thing. I might as well have been looking at ancient Sanskrit because it didn't make any sense. It clearly made sense from somebody's point of view that was programming it. But it's one of those things like being brilliant at math, being able to get through an equation, know the answer, but then not being able to explain it or help somebody else solve that same problem because you're looking at it too close. You're too close to the solution that they were trying to implement with that on their website. Regardless of all of that, I had to get not only my graduation date for, and you know, the level that I had graduated at for high school, as well as for college, loaded in there. And neither one of those areas, they were both marked with a little red asterisk and this big, you know, message at the bottom saying, you must fill this in. This is absolutely necessary. We need to know that you did this. One would surmise that if you went to college, that you had at least maybe finished high school in some way, you know, whether that was a degree, a GED or something. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong on that. But my point was, why would I have to fill in the high school thing if I've already gone to college? Aren't you the most concerned with my most recent, you know, knowledge base that I had acquired, that I had studied, that I had learned, that sort of thing? Neither one of them really worked out. But then what happened was maniacal on this one point. Because the third one, and I don't even remember, I got so frustrated at this point, there was a third element where I had to refill in all of my work experience. Now mind you, that's ad nauseum filled out on my resume. And I got it. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just start copying and pasting some stuff over. But there was one particular area where it like moved forward in the layout of the webpage, but there was no go back button. And I didn't want to add another one, but there was no way to delete that. And I was like, well, where's the back button? Or is there a cancel button? Scoured the whole thing, looking for little innocuous, like upper left-hand corner icons that may have said minimize the window or something. Nothing. It was the main window. There was no pop-up window. There was nothing like that. It was just there. I should have known better, because especially since I have gone through this sort of thing before, but I hit the back button. And I know. You hit the back button, or I hit the back button, and it went back, and it reset the whole goddamn thing. Like, the whole page went back so far. And I couldn't figure that out. It somehow jumped back three spots and logged me the hell out. There are few things that will annoy me beyond belief than trying to fill something out on a web page and then you click the wrong goddamn thing, and not only have you maybe opened up another window or accidentally logged out, your information is lost. Now, that brings me to my next point. When you're trying to fill out some of these things, it would be nice if maybe there was an autosave feature or something like that. If blogger.com can do that for a personal blog, how can it not autosave your information for a job that you're attempting to do your best at filling out on these archaically programmed, ridiculously put together sort of pages? And I know that sounds so severe, but they ask, and this is serious, and a lot of jobs today, and I don't care what you're going for, it's very much a mantra nowadays where, okay, so maybe they want to hire a graphic designer. You know what? That's great that you do graphic design, but do you also do laundry? Do you know how to make a really good latte? And while you're at it, how do you prepare your eggs? I mean, that's literally what it feels like, is that for all of this stuff that I've got to try and enter and try and accomplish and try and ascertain, you know, to show that I'm qualified yet, not overqualified, just qualified enough, you would think that maybe the infrastructure and the input, maybe that's just it. It just hit me right now. Maybe that's the thing. It's like a test of wills. Maybe they distinctly and purposefully put it so that the website is that annoying, so that they want to weed you out early. Like, well, you know, he got frustrated after just a couple of tries. And you know they can track that stuff. You know that. You know, they can tell, hey, this IP address, he was attempting to upload things. And, look at that. Yep, he quit. He never made it through. Total loser. Never would have worked out for this company. You don't know. Dude, you don't know. You have no idea. Because maybe I was not that endeared of the interface, but maybe I could have done a really good job in some other aspects. I don't know. But that's something that has completely driven me nuts for years, because, man, I'm kind of old school in one respect. Like, my, you know, and granted that, you know, even nowadays, if you want to go work at Wendy's, you still got to have some semblance of knowledge of how to use a computer and how to log in. I mean, you walk into Target, there's places there to apply with a little, you know, PC hookup, and you got your Dell running there, and you go and you try and put in for a job. Gone are the days where there was anything real personable about it or anything, because a lot of it is an HR nightmare. A lot of it is these sort of things. And I get it. I understand why companies do it. But it's still a little bit of lamenting, and probably a little bit of bitching on my part, to be honest. I'm starting to turn into that old grumpy bastard. And man, what a hell of a stereotype to turn into. But my point is that for all of that sort of, you know, craziness that happens, it boils down to, like, even after you get in, you know, with the resume, and maybe you do get a callback, every single time I've ever had to go through that, even if it was somewhere where maybe I went back to work somewhere, or, you know, ended up doing contractual on-site work or something like that, maybe it's just me, but again, I'm willing to bet that it's not, I always get nervous. I get this unsettling, just horrible, horrible, horrible pit in my stomach, like, kind of, ugh. You know, there's just this thing that grows inside. It's literally like, you know, like I ate butterflies. Like, I literally physically sat outside, ran around like a moron, and ate monarch butterflies. And I don't know why. I mean, I think the thing is that you assume you want to go in, and, you know, that you're going to go in and that you're going to put your best foot forward, that you're going to be there, you're going to be distinct, your diction will be right on par, and you will be able to talk to them, and you'll know everything about that company, and you know everything about that person interviewing you, and you know everything there is to know about you and how to relinquish that information and provide it directly and accurately and succinctly to them. But when I go in, I don't sound anything remotely like that. I usually go in and I try. It'll start kind of that way, but then it ends up eventually kind of turning into the dude or something like that. Or I have actually been told by people before that I don't mean to do that. I think some of it is I start to get kind of comfortable, and so my voice will start to go kind of back into this, you know, kind of laid back sort of thing. And it's, yeah, you know, yeah, dude, kind of, you know, that sort of thing. And it's fine once you've established a repertoire of some sort in your interview, I guess. But at the same time, man, you're really trying so hard to, like, not only make a great first impression, but you're also trying to, and this is something I run across all the time for myself, because Lord knows I've had a lot of jobs. And every single time, I actually end up having to go back and fact check my own information. Like, man, how long did I work there? Or who did I work for? Or what did I do at those jobs? Now, don't get me wrong, I remember every job I've ever done and all those sort of things. But, like, right now, recording this podcast, it's coming to me, it's natural, it's normal, and there's no issue there. But when I'm on the spot, when I'm in somebody's office, and there's just this whole tactile feeling of being in an office, and you're like, oh, God, okay, I'm going to get an HR packet probably, and okay, I've got more paperwork to fill out. I don't totally know what this all encompasses. There's a whole crap load of legalese on this. Okay. All right. And you're genuinely, if you're smart, you're genuinely interested in what they're telling you, because you're either about to be offered a job, they're trying to see, you know, what sort of things you can do. And I've heard of some crazy things that people have done. Some people are very forthright, and they'll go, so, you know, where do you see yourself in this company? And these sort of things, you know, like 10, 15 years, what's your overall life goals? And I end up feeling terrible, because if I'm brutally honest, sometimes there's things like, well, I'll be honest, dude, I don't want to starve. That's one. I don't want to be in the bread line. That's another. But the truth is, I mean, part of that is because of the fact that I've always got a little bit of a stand-up comic in the back of my head. So I can't help it. It's a way that I'll kind of reform and regain my composure, because I can't, if somebody can, when was the last time, even like, let's go extreme with this. When was the last time that any of you, because I know I can think of these moments. When was the last time that any of you were like at a bus stop or something and you're having small talk? And even in the most awkward situations ever, you're sitting there and you're talking to somebody, and maybe they're like, well, you know, it's kind of hot today. Okay, you know what? You can kind of work with it. Yeah, it's a little hot. Just been sweating today. Shouldn't have worn a sweater. Thought it was going to be colder. Yeah. You know how those apps are. Looked at my weather app, and it lied. Yeah. And, you know, that's what it is. It's just a little bit of that. Sure. Okay, great. But then, when you're put into a situation where you've got to try and make small talk at the same time that you're getting interviewed, you literally feel like you're the Manchurian candidate, or some sort of, you know, circumstantial bullcrap is going to be brought against you, It, you know, and I remember I've been to court a couple of times. I mean, who hasn't for whatever reason? When I did security, I used to go there all the time, and I'd see people sweat over things. Or even when I, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, but if somebody starts asking me questions, I'm like, oh Jesus, what? Maybe I did do it. Maybe I was there. Maybe I'm the one that wrecked that car. I don't know. You know, you start to believe these things, and I know for myself, I get into these panic modes, and I have actually forgotten things. Like they'll be like, you know, I'll mention something on my resume, like, oh, I, you know, I do Civil War reenactment with, you know, the second Federals out of Colorado or whatever, you know, just, you know, it'll be something that I'll just kind of blurt out because somebody brought up, you know, in the interview that they had a love of history, or I'm just trying to make some small talk right before the interview, you know, just to kind of disarm the whole thing. And literally, it will be something like, you know, they'll be like, oh, really? So, you know, were you Union? Were you South? You know, what did you do? Now, under any other circumstance, I could tell you what the make and model of my black powder rifle is. I could tell you what all the accoutrements were I'd be wearing on my uniform. I will literally go, I like blue. And that's the kind of idiocracy that I end up spewing out. I wish that there was a different sort of circumstance where they could look at what your qualifications were. And maybe this is coming from the fact that although this podcast completely blows this next comment I'm going to say out of the water, I am horrifically, markedly introverted. And I really am. People that know me know that I am. That if I am situated in any kind of way to be able to remove myself from social settings or not interact with people, I will automatically do it. I am absolutely anxiously awaiting the arrival of our robot overlords from the future. Totally. Because, man, maybe it's just because of the fact that, like, sometimes whenever, especially when it comes down to work, you know, and in these times, come on, man, everybody's got a little bit where you're like, oh, man, is that dude out for my job? Is he better than me? And I've been in those circumstances. The crazy thing is, like, I often believe that, like, whether it's an interview or whether you're whether you're walking from a meeting or whatever, you know, real talk happens when you're in the hallways or when you're outside of the hall, or outside of the meeting room, or, you know, in emails even sometimes. But the thing is that then you end up getting into these things where you're posturing, you're trying to look professional, everything else like that, and I wish that there was a way to kind of do away with that. You know, I mean, I've gotten some jobs before, like when I got hired at the car wash, or even when I got hired at like Little Caesars, or when I did security for years and things like that. That was pretty simple. I knew a lot of people. So sometimes I just went to go work for friends and stuff, and it was kind of informal. And there was a little bit of the paperwork and legalese and that sort of thing that happens. But I was automatically put at ease because let's be frank. Anybody that's ever done security of any kind or police work or anything else like that. Well, not police work. I'm not even about to degrade what they do by comparing it to security work, because it's a completely different thing. But the point is that you know that you're going to end up dealing with the public, but you keep yourself removed from it. And I actually thrived in that sort of situation. And I can do a similar sort of thing if I'm working toward goals, whenever I'm trying to work with a group or a team or something. If everybody is on the same page and that sort of thing, great. The problem is, and I have no problems doing that, but the real problem stems from just getting to that part. I think that's the biggest challenge today, is the fact that we live in a society that ends up putting so much stuff out there on social media, like, and even doing like what I'm doing here, and you end up, you know, exponentially showing and allowing people to know more about you without really knowing who you are. I mean, the average person that I talk to knows I'm somewhat of a chatty person and I can be a funny person and this sort of thing. But at the exact same time, if I can promise you that the vast majority of my coworkers over the years have automatically assumed I was either mute or had lost my tongue to a pirate crew because I just didn't really talk that much. When I do comic shows, I will go completely into a salesman pitch. I love being a pitchman on the floor, even as weird as I am, because, you know, about the whole, you know, introversion, because it's almost a type of character. It's me on 11. It's kind of like what The Rock does, you know, like Dwayne Johnson is Dwayne Johnson. But then when he's The Rock, you know, he's, you know, that's Dwayne Johnson on 11, you know, that kind of a thing. He's much louder. He's much more emphatic with how he speaks, with how he talks, the way that The Rock is, that sort of thing. He has a particular timbre that he'll approach with that and put in there. I'll do the same sort of thing, and I almost kind of go into slacker zone even more, like when I'm doing my shows. And I, to any of you that hear me on the podcast, I've had some people actually pick that out, like, man, you're far more energetic on the podcast sometimes. Sometimes, I know the early ones were kind of slow, but, you know, even in person, that they can relate to that, you know, that the, because whenever they finally get to know me or maybe see me in some other places outside of, you know, there, I'm just a lot more, just a lot more reserved. So at any rate, I'd be interested to know, like, you know, what you guys think. You know, certainly you guys can send me, you know, your comments on, leave them in the comments section, or you can, you know, email me at mario@mariomora.net, or you can hit me up on Twitter at @theartisanrogue. I just felt like kind of getting a little bit out there because I'm not the only one that's probably looking for a job or trying to, you know, move on in life or do other things like that. And it was just something that for the past couple of weeks have been like driving me a little crazy because, you know, you want to try and do the best you can. And I often feel that like my best capacity is usually whenever I can get in the door, talk to somebody and really get the ball rolling, because then there's a great way to do it. I'm not a big fan of trying to write myself up and be, and you know, these sort of things. I actually, and I'll quickly end after this, but I worked for a place, and there's probably a few other places that do this, but I'm not aware of them. I was actually supposed to write my own review of how I had performed that year. And I thought that was just utterly ridiculous. And there was certain things, it was like a whole little publication that was given to you. It was an inner office proprietary thing. And I think I'm still obligated to never say the name of it, the company that I worked for, that you can see if you look at my resume on my website. But I digress. There was this whole thing where you, like, one of the things was, like, if you were really good at something, you gave yourself a 5- towering strength. Towering strength. That would mean you were a demigod. You were a leviathan. You were a titan of that particular industry. Most people would put 4, maybe 3. The reason is, and it was kind of a mixed bag, the managers never really said what you had to put down. But you would have these one-on-ones. And depending on the manager you had, whether they were much more of a free-base kind of free-form manager or they were a micromanager, you either got go with the flow, there's no wrong answer, just don't be negative. Like, you couldn't say, well, one of my weaknesses is I am allergic to staplers. No, you don't say that. You say, one of the challenges I have found is that swingline staplers are something that I find to be a little bit myopic. And I would like to take the time, now that I'm here, to be able to overcome those challenges and climb that wall to a higher point in this company. Something stupid like that, which is akin to like gallery talk. You know, when you go into a gallery, there's a painting, and maybe you don't understand why it's a goddamn pink square next to a super well-rendered elephant, you know, that's been glued onto a tree trunk. And there's always going to be some jackass in a ponytail there that's like, there's a certain quality to this that I really like. It's got this je ne sais quoi sort of quality to it. I mean, it's really, really, really reminiscent of like the post-pop renaissance Dadaists. Everything, by the way, I just said there was BS. And that's literally what that feels like to me. I can't even begin to say enough that that is what I end up going through. But that would drive me crazy. At any rate, I'm running 30 minutes into this podcast. Ridiculously long, but it was a little bit of a chance for me to get this out there. I would love to hear back from you guys, that sort of thing. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check me out on Twitter, at my website, you know, which is my blog. It's got all kinds of other cool stuff on there. I do have some more stuff. I'm starting to do some new things on Tenacious Ninja, the blog, which is Tenacious Toys blog. And I've also got my Patreon, which I'm starting to get back involved with and starting to put some new stuff on there. So you can check me out. Always look up The Artisan Rogue and you'll find me out there somewhere in cyberspace. Oh, why did I say that? That's such a 1990s .com era. Ow, that was poopy. Anyway, thanks again. Remember to support your local artists, and I'll see you next time.